Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hi, and welcome to this week's episode. Today, I'm joined by Rachel Foy, who is an eating psychology mindset mentor, clinical hypnotherapist, executive life coach, author, and podcaster of The Hungry Soul. She is the founder of The Soul-Fed Woman, which is a global movement empowering women to stop fighting food and their bodies by taking their power back so that they can live their life or live the life that they are hungry for by awakening their soul-fed woman. Hey, Rachel.
Hello, gorgeous. How are you?
I'm so good. So lovely to have you here. Thank you for coming and chatting with me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for asking me.
What does being an adult or adulting mean to you?
Being an adult, it's self-responsibility. And I think that's something that as adults, I don't want to say should, because I don't like saying that we should do anything, but I feel that as we grow, we should technically be taking more responsibility for ourselves. So I would say that for me, it is definitely around that essence and that energy and that element of realizing that we are responsible for everything. You know, in terms of the life we have, the life that we want to create, how we feel, how we're reacting, how we're showing up, it all comes down to us. And that's not a bad thing. Like, that's not about blame. It's about recognizing that we have the power within ourselves to change whatever isn't working for us. So yeah, self-responsibility.
I love that as a definition, and I love it as a segue into responsibility, because so many people, when I ask that question, talk about responsibility, but talk about it as if it's something they have to do and that where the power is taken away from them, right? Rather than responsibility being something empowering.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I hesitated when I said we should be taking responsibility, because for me, it is very much the latter of what you've just said. It is about the empowerment of realizing that we are these incredible co-creators of our world. And if something isn't working for us, then we have the power to change that, whether that be, you know, our general happiness, our contentment, whether it's how we show up in our world, in a relationship, in a business, in a job, in terms of how we feel about ourselves, our bodies. Like, it comes down to us. You know, no one's going to fix us. No one's going to kind of save us, so to speak. It all comes down to us. And for me, that is the most empowering belief that I hold, is that I can change whatever I flipping well want to, because I'm an adult, because I'm showing up for myself. And I think far too many people don't realize that. They do slip into that place of it's a chore and it's a task and it's a challenge and I have to, and it's not empowering. It's the complete opposite. But for me, it is all about empowerment, because without that, we end up in that place of, you know, settling for things, which ain't happening in my world.
I love that. And I talk a lot with my clients about how, if they're really honest, that many of them are sitting around waiting for someone to come and rescue them. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I totally get that feeling. And I wouldn't be doing the work that I'm doing if I didn't know that feeling of sometimes not even that we can't, just that we don't want to, right? That it's so unfair that I should have to be responsible for myself. Why can't someone look after me? Why can't it just be easy? You know, that kind of feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think actually the waiting aspect, something that's just popped in my head as you're talking, a lot of the women within my space, within my community, there is definitely that waiting aspect in terms of they're waiting on their weight. They're waiting for their body to change. They're waiting for their clothes size to come down, you know, in terms of their actual label, believing that when that happens, life will suddenly be better and they will feel better and they'll have more confidence. And then maybe they might meet Mr. Right, Mrs. Right. They'll do all the things that at the minute they're not doing. And this for me ties into that self-responsibility. It's like we have to acknowledge and actually witness that any kind of behavior where we are pressing pause on our existence, whether it be because of our body or our current situation with like finance or with our life in general, that we have to take responsibility and realize that we can change this. And it's not about waiting for anything outside of ourselves to change. Like, we are that change. And I know that sounds really cliches, but until we actually change, nothing else will change anyway. And it does involve work. You know, there is no quick fix to any of this. But I think when we realize that we can actually be that change that we're seeking, then it allows us to just create that momentum that so many of us are just, you know, sat there going, oh, well, one day things might get better.
Yeah, for me it taps into, so I spend a lot of time, even though this is a podcast on adulting, talking about being a kid and the child, like a lot of the stuff that either came from when we were children that we learned, or tapping back into that incredible mindset that we have of children, as children, where anything is possible, and where we can reinvent ourselves in a moment, and where the old stories haven't stuck yet and can be moved and changed.
Yeah, I think fun is a big aspect of that. You know, certainly for me personally, but also with like the work that I do, it's giving women permission to actually show up a bit more like that little girl that they used to be. You know, the one who might have been more spontaneous, who might not have taken life so seriously because at the time she hadn't been conditioned to stick to those like rules that society starts to impose on her as she becomes an adult. Because so many of us, we don't, you know, we try and be the good girl and we try and stick to the rules, and we could have a massive conversation in terms of how this is relevant for like food and diet culture, like trying to be good with our eating. And it backfires because on a soul level, we desire pleasure, we desire fun, we desire joy. And unfortunately, so many of us as grown women, we don't give ourselves that space or that permission to actually start to be a bit more carefree and a bit more fun. And I always kind of prescribe pleasure as one of the things that is a massive doorway to start exploring this kind of work. You know, it's like, how can we start to inject more pleasure into our world? Because so many women get pleasure from the chocolate bars and from the bottles of Pinot Grigio, you know, of an evening sat on their sofa, and that's not really feeding them on a soul level. It's very symbolic and it's very substitutional. But pleasure and fun and being more childlike, is it really does start to open that conversation for ourselves as to how we can start feeding our souls more.
And if so, there's so much in here I wanted to talk about. So many things you just touched on. So I think diets, or wanting to change. So let's say first step, I want to change my relationship with my body, and I recognize that somewhere secretly I'm waiting for things to be different in order for me to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, or to wear a certain clothes or do certain things, right? And I recognize that in myself, and so my instant belief then is I need to diet because that's the only way I'm going to lose weight. And the answer is at the end of this thing. How do you encourage someone, or what is the kind of shift? What do they need to know to be present in the process and stop waiting? Does that make sense as a question?
Absolutely. So it's quite a big question, so I'm going to try and sort of condense a little bite-sized answer, I guess. So the first thing, and you touched on dieting, is to really start helping somebody recognize the bullshit that diet industry has been selling them for such a long time. Like you touched on before about the beliefs as children that we then start to adapt, and it becomes part of who we are, but it might not actually be who we really are. This is so true of diet culture. Like, no matter what diet program people buy into as their perceived solution to what they're seeking, there is so much fakeness attached to that, you know, slimness equals happiness, and it equals confidence, it equals success, desirability, worthiness. Like, there's so many layers to this conversation. So that's the first thing, is recognizing that all of that stuff that we're conditioned to believe sociologically from diet culture, none of it's true. It's just a very clever marketing tool more than anything to get us into buying into these programs. So once we recognize that, it then goes to that self-responsibility and actually starting to take ownership for what do we believe to be true for ourselves. And whenever I ask a woman about, you know, in terms of how she feels about her body at the moment, what does she believe that slimness would mean for her? And the amount of answers that people will give just like that about people will find me more attractive, I'll make more money in my business, I'll be more desirable, people won't judge me, I'll feel more confident. And it's again taking ownership of, well, where have those beliefs come from? Because just because we actually slim down doesn't necessarily mean that that dialogue within ourselves is actually going to shift, because we often have so much misinterpretation of those stories in the first place. So how we can be present in that is actually being really mindful of our inner dialogue and recognizing that 99% of the time when these things start to appear, it's what I refer to as our diet gremlin. You know, it's that little voice that's sitting in on our shoulder saying, well, you shouldn't really be having that because you're trying to lose weight. And until you lose weight, you're not going to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right. And actually realize that that isn't you. It's a thought and it's a belief and it's a story that isn't actually yours. So therefore you can take responsibility of actually starting to let that story go by choosing a new story for yourself. And, you know, and as I said, this is a really big question. And certainly in the work that I do, it takes time to start dismantling the systems that people have been buying into and really starting to take their full power back when it comes to not just eating, but it's actually about body image more than anything. You know, and allowing that woman to recognize that her self-worth and her desirability is not at all connected to the size and shape of her being. And how she can start to navigate that conversation for herself, whereby it's empowering and it's not that restrictive kind of energy. Does that answer the question?
It does. And I think it's so, oh, before we came on, we were talking about how we can know this stuff or we can have worked on it a bit. And it's, and sometimes that makes it more difficult because you get an opportunity to relearn it then. And as you were talking, in my, you know, anyone that's listened to this podcast for a while or who's read my book or knows my story knows that I have an ongoing challenging relationship with body image and with food. And that's because I'm me, but also because society is set up for a very specific body type and body shape, and mine hasn't always fallen into that. And it's an ongoing thing. And when I listen to you talk, I'm reminded of that old adage, you know, it's really important to start with a beginner's mind all the time, because so often I listen to people like you talk, or I hear this wisdom again, I'm like, I know. And all I've done in that is close everything down. Whereas if we can come from a place of having that beginner's mind or having that open mind or hearing it for the first time, we might find something new in it for us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I know, obviously, you're a business owner as well. And I know from like a business point of view, quite often we think that there's some kind of exclusive strategy or there's something that we don't yet know because we've not yet got to that place. And it's the same with this. You know, one of the things that I say over and over and over again to my clients, to my community, is go back to the basics, because they really do serve us. And that basic, it's not even a concept, like it's the truth. But when we can actually appreciate that, all those things that I've just mentioned and what you've just very eloquently inputted as well, they are the basics. They're the foundation on which we can start to build a healthy and balanced and really empowering relationship with not just food, but with our body. You know, it's recognizing that there are so many things outside of ourselves that influence how we feel about us. But we have that responsibility of, do we believe them? Are we choosing to let them in? What can we do about it? And from that place, we can start to really step more and further into our power. So going back to the basics, rinsing and repeating, there's so much power in actually doing that. You know, there isn't an extremely sophisticated process. Sometimes it is about just keep re-listening to and repeating the fundamental principles of what we've just been talking about.
So true. So true. And I just as you're talking, I'm feeling like that. The thing we say in business and what we say in when we're looking at body image or what we're talking about money and when we're talking about relationships, ultimately, it's often the same set of tools, right? We're coming at something with awareness and with an open mind and consistency and not letting those gremlins, whatever they are, whether they're your diet gremlins or your anxious gremlins or your money gremlins, whatever they are, not letting them win.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not, you know, let's be honest, that's not always easy. Like when you're in the moment and you've got your diet gremlin on your shoulder or you've got your money gremlin on your shoulder, it's not that easy to go, oh yeah, whatever, and just kind of get on with life. But it is possible to start to recognize it for what it is. And, you know, one of the things that I think I mentioned earlier, it's recognizing that those thoughts, those gremlins, those things that appear, that's not really who you are. Like on a soul level, we are all whole. We are all already enough. We are already deserving and worthy of our deepest, you know, biggest dreams and desires. But it's these things that start to influence how we feel about ourselves. So when you can recognize that the little voice and the gremlin, that's not really who you are, that again allows you to make that choice. Is, am I going to converse with this thing and start to believe what it's telling me? Or am I going to go back to basics of realizing and remembering who I truly am? And on a soul level, I don't need to change my body size to find a partner. I don't need to be a size 10 to be successful in business. You know, these are what the gremlins and the thoughts actually make us believe. But responsibility, like, do we really want to start engaging with that stuff? Because many of us, we have done for such a long time, and it's only when we recognize it for what it really is that we can start to make this, we can start to create a distance from it. And as I said, it's not easy, it's not a quick fix, there is work involved. But that's not to say that it's, you know, decades and decades worth of unraveling stuff. But it just takes a bit of practice and patience to begin with anyway.
And if someone wants to come and find out more about the way that you work and the work that you do, where's the best place for them to come find you?
The best place is probably over on my website, which is soulfedwoman.com. You can also find me on social media under soulfedwoman. I'm on Facebook and on Instagram. They're my two kind of main platforms. But yeah, come and head over to the website. There's videos and there's workshops. I've got a brand new book that's just come out called The Hungry Soul, which really explores this in more detail and in more practicality ways. But yeah, that's where I'm going to be.
Fab. Well, I'm sure people will come over and we'll make sure that there are links that are really, really easy for people to click on and come and find. Do you have an I'm an adult but or a little confession for me?
I'm going to say I'm an adult but I don't always like to be.
You know what? That's a fantastic one. Oh, I've got to think of one today. That's so true for me.
I don't always like to be. You know, some days I kind of look at my children who are 8 and 5, particularly my 5-year-old daughter, because I see so much of me in her. And I just kind of look at how she's so carefree, like running around the house with just her like pants and vest on, and she's just playing with her dolls, and she's just in that place of full make-believe, doesn't really give a crap about anything. So I sometimes look at that and go, I wish I could be more like that actually sometimes. So yeah, I don't always like to be an adult.
Yeah, I'm really working on making that my reality. I'm really working on letting go of like 9 to 5 and of all of the, just really breaking down all of those societal constructs of like what we need to wear, when we need to wear it, how we need to respond.
I was giggling, you're running around your house in your pants and vest.
Yeah.
Do it.
I do that. There's a bit in Grey's Anatomy, which I've been binge watching again recently. There's a bit in Grey's Anatomy where Callie, a character, remembers that she is no longer dances in her underwear. And at the beginning of the season, at the series, right way back years ago, there was a lot of her headphones in her pants, dancing around. And I have to wear headphones because no one else lives here. So I do. I dance around in my pants. And so should we all.
I might try it actually straight after this.
Yay!
Gonna give it a go.
Oh, I think if you're listening, you absolutely should have a go as well. DM us and let me know whether you've been dancing around in your pants. I think that's the way forward.
Awesome.
Thank you for joining me, Rachel. It's been a real pleasure having you on and having this conversation.
Yeah, thanks Ebony, see you later.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.